Well, it's good to be back with you again, and it's good also that the Lord has answered prayer concerning a pastor. Pray for the one that's coming this way, that the Lord would bless him, bless his ministry, bless the church. Hearts would be touched and moved and in every way. And, you know, we were speaking a few minutes ago about church membership, you know, how that throughout our land, church membership has really declined. Good, faithful Baptist churches. It used to be full, and seemed like I don't like to reference age in a lot of things, but seemed like when the age passes away, then so does the church, and that is really sad. And you know, say, well, it's always been just a losing battle, but you know, whatever we might think, it's sure worth our prayers, it's sure worth our vigilance, our attention in every way, and exhort and one another as church members, speak to those that have maybe strayed or whatever, speak to those and pray for them, pray with them about the things of the Lord, and especially the church. You know, as we were talking a minute ago, we know that there are God's people in that nation of Afghanistan, and people probably tired of hearing it, but they're dying for the cause of Christ, and they're dying for the cause of the church. And we have trouble in our nation just getting people and the church to live for the Lord. And, you know, that's really unsettling in so many ways. And our prayer is the Lord will change the hearts and the minds of all of his people, wherever they might be, and cause them to see a need to renew themselves in the Spirit. Not to be saved again. It don't happen like that, but to be renewed in the Spirit. We're renewed every day, the Scripture says. We can be, and we can be closer to the Lord. We'd like for you to get your Bible. If you'd like to turn to the book of Psalm in chapter 37, and I know churches everywhere hear a lot about the book of Psalm. You know, I've even been with a couple of times about, you know, the book of Psalms where you go to pick up a cheap, quick lesson or a message, you know. There's nothing cheap or quick about the Word of God, no matter where you get the message from, no matter which scriptures you use. But it's something that God's people need to think about in the day and time that we live. You know, there's never been a more unsettling time in our nation and the lives of our nation's people than the time that we live. And, you know, I spoke with you last time. I believe it was here. It might have been somewhere else, but either way. Brother Lybrook spoke at one time, Charles Lybrook, he spoke at one time about living in the last days that Timothy talked about over there. And we were warned at that time that people were going to be proud and boasters and lovers of themselves, lovers of money and everything else, you know. But at the same time, it's exciting times. Should be. We're seeing an end of an era come about, folks. When the Lord comes back, I believe that will be the end of the church age, but for sure, folks, not the end of God's Word and not the end of God's people. That just means at that time everything's going to shift to another part of the world. But we live in that time now where there's so many people that are so unsettled about what they believe, how they believe, and some people even say, I really don't know how to talk to people about the Lord. All you need to tell people, folks, is how he saved you. And if God's people can't do that, then they probably either need to take a shyness class or be saved themselves. Because there's only one way a person can be saved, and that's by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, I try not to preach with a chip on my shoulder, but Folks, God's people really need to be upset in the nation that we live. Because tomorrow, we don't even know if we're going to be able to meet in this house or not ever again, legally. So we need to be really careful, we need to be prayerful, and we need to depend on the Lord. Now, this psalm of David here in chapter 37, you know, deals with the wicked's prosperity in a place or two here in here. But, you know, God's people, no matter how they prosper, and you know it's true, the wicked just seem to prosper, you know. They could fall in a sewer hole and come out smelling like a rose. And that just seems to be the idea with them. And there seems to be no retribution, nothing we can do about it. Nothing, it seems like, maybe the Lord has stopped blessing our nation. Folks, I think God's hand of judgment is upon this nation of ours now. I think we're seeing the beginning of that. Been somewhat for quite a few years, but nothing like we're going to see here shortly. As the Lord works and His will comes to pass. But when it does, when we see these things come to pass, when we see all of this confusing stuff going on, let's know for sure, folks, it's not from the Lord, because God is not the author of confusion. The old Satan is, the great deceiver, that so many people has turned their face toward him to seek out other things other than the Lord promises. The hope that we have in everything that he says and does. But it says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Now, where are the evildoers? Folks, God's people today, we stand in a time where there's much, much wickedness in high places, spiritual wicknesses in high places. So now, don't go politicking on us, preacher. I'm not, folks. Let me tell you something. It's all up. It's not just one side of the aisle or the other side of the aisle. It's all up. And none of them are seeking the Lord. And when that happens, folks, when you're to mention the Lord's name, that's when we're. But God says, fret not thyself because of evildoers. Folks, we not only know what's going on in this world, God's people know why. Because it's prophesied in His Word in the last days how it will be. He said, well, there's not much comfort in what you've said so far. Rejoice. Hand is still upon us. And don't be jealous of them. Don't be jealous of evildoers, folks. Look, you and I that are saved by the grace of God, we're standing in the favor of God this morning. In God's favor. We stand in His grace. We stand by His strength and His mercy and His peace and His hope. Every day. You know, people talk about Israel. I talk a little bit about Israel myself. But people talk about Israel, you know, in a negative way. You know, they say, well, you know, they're just bullies. They're just bullying them people over there that live over that other part. You know, Israel's pushed up on a little old place. You know, it's just no bigger than probably, I don't know how big it is actually. Not very big. But you know, folks, all of and everybody that's there that's not of Israel is an intruder. No matter what people say, no matter what they think, God gave them all. In the name of peace, they say. And the whole world. Yeah, I do talk about Israel once in a while. Folks, that is God's chosen nation. And in my eyes, according to the scriptures, you know, to me, the fleshly side of me thinks that God should have traded that nation in generation and generations ago and picked him another one to call his people. But he said, you're my people. I call you. He said, you are. No matter what. That country, folks, is going to be preserved for God to do a work that's never been seen before. Said, well, there's some mighty big things happened to Israel down through the years. The world hasn't seen anything yet, folks, about how God is able to work. Seemed like, the plagues upon Egypt, you know, that are recorded in the Word of God, didn't have much of an impact on the world on the day and time that we live, do we? Because, you know, most people, a lot of people don't even believe the Lord's Word exists and that it's inspired of God anyway. But don't be jealous of the evildoers. God, they have their place to stand before God in the great white throne of judgment. Except they be saved. Now there's hope for everybody, folks. That's one thing about the Word of God. It talks about the most wickedest people that ever lived upon the earth being saved by God's grace. Take that old demoniac, you know. Take him. In the land of the Gadarenes over there. That dude was running around in the cemetery naked. He was cutting himself with stones and rocks. That was a place, and he was running around, folks, in the place of the dead. And then he met Christ. And all of a sudden, I mean, folks, all of a sudden, just like that, he had good sense. Sense enough to put some clothes on. Sense enough to go tell other people what Christ has done. You think the worst of the worst. He was possessed with a legion of demons. And he ended up with good sense. Talking to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, they say that legion says, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Boy, he knows who God is, don't he? He knew who Jesus is. And you know, people today got just a faint idea. They like to hear about Jesus at Christmas time because we get presents. They like to hear about the baby in the manger because that spurs people to go and spend money and buy gifts and everything, which is okay. I don't have anything against Christmas, not at all. Because Christ does get a lot of attention around that year, that time of the year. But it's a shame it takes that to recall people's memory and hearts to know Christ came to this earth as he did, born of that virgin. Don't be envious about the workers of iniquity. They will meet their doom, just like the scripture says. They shall soon be cut off or cut down like the grass and wither as the grass herb or as the green herb, and trust in the Lord. Now these next five or six verses, folks, I don't know if we get much further than that or not, but these next five or six verses is for sure what God's people, we need to pray that God will enable us to do these things that the psalmist has written down here in the day and time that we live. I am so fearful for my grandchildren. So fearful that I am. You know, folks, what kind of world are they being handed? What kind of world is being passed down to them? And most of them are not being taught who to look to and why to look to the Lord for the way things are. Only he can fix things, you know that. He's the only one that has all the answers. He's the only one that is able to awaken us to who we need to look to for the help in time of need. Most of them have been taught that tomorrow might not come. Don't worry about tomorrow. Said, well, you know, that's exactly what the Lord says. Take no thought for tomorrow. You know, folks, And I agree with that. You know, we got troubles enough today, don't we? We've got our sorrows. We've got our burdens. We've got the things that we pray for earnestly every day on our heart concerning our families and our nation and everything. And the Lord says, don't worry about tomorrow until it gets here. Says, you got today to wonder, to work with and to wonder about and to pray about and to give yourself to. You've got today to do that. God says, tomorrow, don't even worry about that yet. If you have tomorrow, you know what, folks? You're going to have your burdens and your trials and your tribulations and your heartaches and everything else. But folks, we can still rejoice in the Lord. We can still trust in Him. We can still rest in Him. And it says, trust in the Lord in verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, there's always something to the things that the Lord tells His people to do. You say, well, you know, that just makes it sound like God saved us under certain conditions. Folks, He saved us by His grace. He predestinated us to be like His dear Son. He didn't predestinate us to become worldly and ungodly and weak-kneed and without a backbone as God's people. He didn't call us to be like that. He called us to be in the image of His dear Son from eternity past. So, you know, people say, well, you know, God saved me by His grace. I don't ever have to worry about going to hell. You know, that's just a fringe benefit. Did you ever think about that? Not going to hell is just a fringe benefit of salvation. That's just one thing that we'll not have to suffer. And we say, well, you make an awful lie to that preacher. That's a big thing. You know, one time, I don't know who, we were having a revival back at Siloam years back, and there was a preacher got up there, and he began to preach, and he said, sometimes I think that the Lord ought to take a hold of the shirt collars of the pastors and preachers of the world this day and open the pit of hell and just dangle them over top of it so they'll just see what they're not preaching about anymore. That they just might see what a terrible place it is. More than just reading about it, you know, that they might see how terrible it is. It's a terrible place. Do you know what, folks? If people die and go there, some people say, I'm just going to be there with my friends, and we're just going to have a party. No friends in that place. Everybody's going to go there as an intruder. Yeah, I'm going to be with my friends. We're going to have a big time. You know, they predict, they talk about hell as a place where the devil is in charge. No, folks, the devil's not in charge. He don't have a pointed tail and a pitchfork running all over hell, jabbing the people that's down there. Folks, the Lord made that place for him to be in forever and ever and ever, whenever he's cast in there the final time. No, he's not going to be in charge of that place. He's not going to be sitting on the throne down there in that place. The devil's not. Folks, he's going to be suffering, just like everybody else that goes there. That's a hard thing to think about. You know, people say, well, you just got to remember, when you start naming sin, the types of sin, you know, you're gonna offend people. Well, Revelation 21 sure don't make any bones about that, does it? When he says all the liars and the murderers and everybody else, and you know who else he includes? Unbelievers. Who are the unbelievers? Those are probably some of the most moral people you will ever meet. That never trusted in the Lord. They're probably some of the most friendliest people you ever met, but they never trusted in the Lord. All unbelievers, God says, along with everybody else who believes, they're going to be cast into that bottomless pit one of these days, never to come out again. No hope in that place. So you trust in the Lord and do good. Our salvation, folks, is a gift of God. We should at least be able to appreciate that enough to do some good things in our life. And he says, delight thyself. Do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Feed on his faithfulness, folks. You know, God's word is referred to in different places, mostly in the book of Corinthians, as meat and milk, and bread, and water. Now, what else do we need to stay alive? Physically stay alive. Water, milk, and bread, and meat. Say, well, I'm a vegetarian. That's okay. Still got to have it to stay alive. It's still something the Lord gives you. I was complaining back there, you know, Randy, I was back there complaining a bit ago about the heat. I said, boy, I planted my garden. Boy, I planted it with a zeal. I said, boy, I'm going to have a good garden. I'm going to pick some good corn and beans. And you know, I've been out there every day at 100 degrees just complaining and whining and crying and sweating. Harvesting that little old garden that the Lord seemed to bless doubly this year. And just complain and complain and complain. Until I sat down with that big old ears of corn in front of me, a great big plate of green beans in front of me, you know, it's been all greased up with some bacon grease. And you know, we take a good old healthy piece of corn and a big good old healthy bowl of green beans, and we make it so unhealthy, pouring that salt and butter and everything on it. Lord, Lord gives us something good, and we make a mess out of it, don't we? And I can't wait to get home, because I've got six big old ears in the refrigerator just waiting for me. Folks, the Lord's good to us, let me tell you. You know, the Lord says, trust in him and do some good things. Do good. Do things that bring honor and glory to God. And you're going to be fed. And you're going to dwell peaceably in the land we have so far, haven't we? In the land that the Lord has given us, we have been able, even to this day, we are able to live peaceably in this land. Now, don't mean we're not going to be slandered and talked about and everything else, you know, folks, but that's good news. My mama always told me when I was just a young Christian, she always told me, said, the more people scoff at you and make fun of you, that means the closer you are to the Lord. And you know, I never thought much about that till later on, when it just seemed to make any difference when you tell people you were saved by God's grace. Didn't seem to make any difference to them. They didn't say good or I'm glad or anything. Not a bit. It's the kind of world we live in. The closer we are to the Lord, the better off we are, regardless of what this world thinks. And delight yourself in the Lord. You know, everybody might see that word delight just a little bit. You know, for me, you know, I'm delighted. We drive through the Amish country every once in a while, and yeah, I'll stop at the bakery and I'll get one of them great big old donuts that look like a great big pillow, and it's got that much gook in the middle of it, and chocolate preferably on top, just loaded with calories, and I'm just delighted to look at something like that. I said, all right, I can't hardly wait to get to the table and sit down and eat that. And then I'll get me a carton of chocolate milk to go with that. Another good thing. And I just delight in that. The scriptures tells us, delight also in the Lord. Delight. Delighted. And lift it up, folks. I mean, from the inside out, lifted up. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Be delighted in that. Can you say that about anyone else outside of the Lord? Say, well, I'll always be I'll always be in my family. Yes, I will. But if you're saved by God's grace, you're always going to be part of God's family. You're part of the family of God. You're part of the church that the Lord Jesus Christ set up. You're part of the kingdom of God. Folks, listen. We really do belong to the Lord. And I think the psalmist is bringing that to our attention, that we realize that we really do belong to the Lord in every way. And when the Lord tells us we can rest in Him and we can delight in Him and we don't have to be afraid of what's going on around about us. You know another old preacher, Brother Bob Allard, long time ago, another old preacher, he said, Brother Stanton Dowdy, another way back, a whole lot farther, he said, when I close my eyes in death here, he said, it's just good night here and hello or good morning up there. That's what it is. You see, folks, our future is sure. Our future is sure. We have a future in heaven for sure. In the presence of God, a place lit by the glory of God. I don't know, I can't explain that. Now, I just can't do it. It's like going all the way back to the book of Genesis and trying my best to explain how the Lord created everything. And people just don't want to accept that God said, let there be light, and there was light. And it's hard for me to tell people, how do you think He really did that? I think He really did that by just saying, let there be light, and there was light. See, God's able to do that. And something else that always amazed me when I was just young and sitting in the intermediate class under Billy Riddle, long time ago, he stumped me. He said, and you know what? The Lord created light before He created the sun. I just looked back and I says, there's no way. He created light before He created the sun. You see, folks, that came a little later. Lord made light out of complete darkness. And then He created the sun and everything else after that. I love that. How did He do it? God said, let there be light. And there was light. And He talked about the firmaments. He said, let the firmaments do what they're supposed to do. And let the plants do what they're supposed to do. And let everybody else or everything else do what it's supposed to be doing. And God looked at all of His creation and He said, it was good. You know, at the end of every day, that the Lord worked in creation, He said it was either good or very good. I think every day He said that. It was either good or very good. Yeah, that should be enough for us. What God created was good. Folks, what God created in us, that new life, it's good. That new life that He's given us, puts us in a relationship with the God of heaven. It helps us to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it helps us to know the Spirit of God that works in our hearts and our lives every day. And it just reinforces. You know, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost if you please, they all just reinforce that we are the children of God. And no matter what we think or do, folks, in our lifetime, that will never change. Never will. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. When He gives anything we want, He didn't say that. He said He would give us the desires of our heart. Well, I desire, preacher, I desire a great big old home. You know what, folks? God's people already have a great big home promised to us. The Lord calls it a mansion. I don't know. And I've seen a lot of mansions, you know. There's one in Tennessee down there. Can't even think of what it is. I've been there, looked at it, but Biltmore, I guess. There's a big old mansion down there, they call it. And you look at that and walk through there, and it's just amazing, you know, what it looks like. What's in there? how they lived back then. It's just amazing. I desire to have one of them. I think what the Lord's building has went to prepare for me is going to be better than that place. That's what I think. Well, I desire this. I desire that. We need to get our wants and our needs and our desires in line with the Word of God. We need to desire to be pleasing to the Lord. We need to desire following Him a little bit closer. We need to desire to have more fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to desire to be more faithful in prayer and believing the things the Lord has said. And God says, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Desire that our loved ones be saved. I desire that they be saved. But wouldn't that be amazing to be able to talk about that? That we had a son or a daughter or a grandson or great-granddaughter, great-grandson, whatever the case might be saved by the grace of God. That's the things that we should desire. God said, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Are you thankful for Christ? Are you thankful for the Lord? Are you thankful for His goodness each day? I got to get on with this. And He says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, we've got other scriptures, book of Matthew and John and everywhere else where the Lord prayed and other people prayed and everything else about what the Lord is able to do. You know, John chapter 17, that's where the Lord prayed. And before that, you know, there was another chapter concerning the model prayer. You know, the Lord was saying, when you pray, pray in this manner. And the first thing that He did when Christ was teaching them how to pray is to give honor to God. When you pray, pray this way: Our Father who art in heaven. Boy, that put God in His rightful place, even in the eyes of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I put Christ, and I say this real, real humbly, folks, Christ knew that the Father, even though, and this is something else that I'm just not able to explain, even though Christ is God in the flesh, Christ put God first. Our Father who art in heaven. That's why just about every time I hear anybody pray this, child saved by the grace of God, man and woman, they always start out a Heavenly Father or a Father in Heaven, or ever how they start out their prayer first, just like Jesus said, acknowledge God in all things. Commit thy way unto Him and trust also Him, He shall bring it to pass, and He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light and thy judgment as the noonday, and rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You know, folks, as we close the message here shortly, we need to learn, probably first of all, to turn off so much news. There are no good news channels anymore. Everything is lies. Everything is deceit. Everything is fear. It seemed like we're not allowed to be comfortable in our nation anymore. Just one thing after another to cause panic and fear. So are you talking about COVID? Folks, I'm talking about anything. Just anything to cause panic and fear. That's what's been down to the nation, been passed down to the nation, is panic and fear. Don't you fall for that. You can rest in the Lord. You can trust in the Lord. You can commit yourself fully unto the Lord. Don't you be afraid as a child of God. Say, now, preacher, nobody wants to get beat up and hurt and everything else. Like I said, folks, there are people that have died for the cause of Christ and the cause of the church all down through history. And we even live in a nation, folks, where we are allowed. And yet, most of God's people, 40, 50, 60% of them saved or saved by the grace of God and don't see church necessary. And let me tell you something, folks. I believe with all my heart that you don't need a church to go to heaven. That's what Christ is for. But you need church to learn about the Word of God. You need church to learn how to love your pastor. Your pastor that's coming. Brother Prater, your pastor. God says, count him worthy of double honor. God says, love him. God says, pray for him. God says all of those things about your pastor. God says all of those things. The Lord asked Peter, says, Peter, you love me? So, yes, I do, Lord. He sort of aggravated Peter. He asked him that two more times. Well, Peter, do you love me? Well, yeah, I love you. Ask me, ask him a third time, Peter, do you love me? Well, Lord, you know I do. You know, it's for our next point is about being patient. You know I do. Nobody likes to repeat themselves, do they? Nobody. I say, hunt my house, I might get hit with a broomstick. Nobody likes to repeat themselves. And the Lord says, Peter, if you love me, feed my sheep. That's what your pastor's coming for. That's what churches need one for. Someone to feed the sheep. What are you supposed to feed the sheep? The Word of God. The bread, the milk, the meat, the water of the Word. That's his job. Feed the sheep. His job. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Wait on the Lord. Don't like to do that. We want our prayers answered. Now, Lord, touch them and lift them up. Lord, we've been praying for them people for a week. Now, do you have done a thing? They've been on our prayer list for a month and they still got cancer, still got a lot of problems. Still can't get around very well. What are you going to do? Are you not able to do that anymore? Wait patiently on the Lord, folks. His will might be to take somebody we love home. You know that? Saved by the grace of God, I'll take you. Well, that's just something you just shouldn't say to somebody that loses a loved one. There's a lot of things we shouldn't say to someone that loses a loved one. But one thing for sure, folks, when loved ones die in Christ, they're going to be in a better place. We're missing for sure. And we're going to mourn, we're going to cry. We're going to miss them forever and ever and ever until we leave here and go to be with them as well as the Lord. Wait patiently on him. Keep it praying, folks. The Lord will work in his time, not mine. He works according to the purpose of his will, not mine. And fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass, and cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, I might have mentioned here, it's either here at Big Creek, I'm not sure. In the past, you know, I don't want to show hands. Have we ever lost our temper? And when I lose my temper, I seem to always say something. Or am tempted to say something. Boy, do I want to tell my wife some things. Boy, do I ever. Lose my temper and say something that I shouldn't say. Cause feelings that should never have been hurt. Cause things to come to pass in a relationship or somebody else or something else just because I lost my temper. Forsake wrath. They'll be mad. And I don't use my wife for the butt end of my jokes. She doesn't deserve that. That's not what the Lord brought her into this ministry for. But cease from anger and forsake wrath, and fret not thyself in any wise. Those that wait upon the Lord, right in verse 9, for evildoers shall be cut off. Their end is coming, folks, one way or another. Whatever we can do then doesn't come even close to whatever the Lord is going to do with them. But those that wait on the Lord shall inherit the earth. You know, we we can say a lot about inheritance, God's people. We inherit all things through Christ Jesus. All things. The heavens and earth, we're going to be equal heirs in that. The riches of God's glory, folks, we're going to be equal heirs in that. Everything that God has, everything that He created, for His glory and His honor, God says, we are equal heirs with Christ, His Son. We could never be equal with Christ, could we? But we're sure going to be equal heirs with Christ. And through Him, folks, we have that life, that promise, that hope, that assurance, even in the day and time that we live. Father in heaven, we thank You for this day. We thank You, Lord, for this honor, this people that has asked us once again to, and received us so graciously to come to this place and preach the Word. Father, we pray Your blessings on Grace Baptist Church. We pray Your blessings on Brother Prater as he comes this way. Lord, we pray You would lift this church up, bring those people back that have gone, that may have gone astray. Father, restore fellowship one with another. And Father, draw us all closer together in Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You again for Him. And we pray Your salvation on those of our loved ones, those round about us that are lost. If there's any here today, Father, we don't know the hearts, but You do. That's never trusted in You. We ask, Lord, that You might work in their hearts and grant repentance and faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And we ask all of this in His name, and we thank You. And amen.